Welcome to the October 15th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, A Camel and a Needle. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's good to be seen. I told you I am a prophet. What did I say last week at this time? I said State was going to help the Wake Forest fans feel better this week. That's exactly what happened. You can check the internet. That's exactly what I said. So we're glad to see Wake Forest fans smiling again. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Several announcements that we'll have as we get started. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here. We want to get a record of everyone who was in attendance this morning. We have pew pads on every aisle. We invite you to take those and to fill that out. Members and guests alike, members take the information and fill out just your name, any information that has changed, and then check the appropriate boxes. If you're a guest with us this morning, we ask that you fill all the information out as you feel comfortable, and then send it all the way down to the end of the pew so that everybody has opportunity to sign it and then send it back to where it started so our ushers can pick those up a little bit later or after the service today. We appreciate you helping us out with this. Some scheduling notes for today. We are having children's time. Raymond will be down here right after hymn number 12. So we want the children to come down during the last stanza of that hymn. So you meet him down here. Also, the youth will be headed to Old Town Park for a cookout this afternoon right after church. The bus will be leaving a little bit after 12. 12:15 or so, or whenever all the youth are changed and on the bus. So you guys, if you brought a change of clothes, you got a ride there. Otherwise, meet us out at Old Town, and we'll be back here in time for youth choir. But there is no snack supper tonight, or no youth online. So that is a youth schedule change. There is everything else is regular schedule, including our life service, which will happen tonight at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall. So we hope that you come and be a part of that, our Life Contemporary Service, which happens every Sunday evening. So we hope that you put that on your calendar for today. Regular schedule this week, including our basketball teams. We will be starting our youth children's basketball teams this week. This Tuesday evening, we'll be splitting our four teams between College Park and Old Town Elementary. At 6 o'clock this week at Old Town is junior co-ed. That's our 4th through 6th grade. And then at 7:30, our senior boys team, that's the 10th through 12th grade, will be at Old Town Elementary. And then at College Park at 6 o'clock, we'll have the girls team at 6, and then at 7:30, the intermediate boys team. So if you're interested in playing on those teams, just come on out Tuesday night, and we'll have all the information available to you. Reminder that we put something new in the newsletter this week to you. Our church, our children and youth specifically, are sponsoring Operation Christmas Child. Many of you have probably heard of this ministry of Samaritan's Ministries up in Boone. This is a nationwide mission effort where we gather new toys, new school supplies, new medical supplies, a variety of hygiene items. All of these will be collected and put into boxes to be shipped around the world. All the details are in your newsletter. What our children and youth are doing are encouraging the church to provide either a completed shoebox or the supplies to go in a shoebox. Then those supplies that we collect on November the 1st, our youth and children will get together that Wednesday night, put the boxes together and send them to Operation Christmas Child up in Boone to be distributed throughout the world. You will find a list of these items in your newsletter, in your recent newsletter, and we will have some bulletin inserts over the next 2 weeks. Just want to let you know that that is starting and will run for the next 3 weeks. We want you to donate those items as you're able, and our youth and children will take it from there. So we appreciate you helping us with this event. Also, our Fall Family Festival is just 2 weeks away, October the 29th at 4 o'clock. It's a Sunday afternoon. We're inviting everyone to come out for an afternoon of games and food and activities. We're needing people to sign up to provide, chili, I believe, a crock pot of chili or a soup, or bring a dessert. That's what we're asking you guys to do. There's a sign-up sheet right next to the welcome desk. We'll take care of everything else. We'll provide the blow-up games. We'll provide all the activities. We just need a little bit of help providing that food. So we appreciate you checking that out. That's always been a great time for us to be together. We want to say a special welcome this morning to our guests. If you're a guest this morning, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You've already given us some information about you in the pew pads. We want to give a little bit of information about us. So we invite you to just raise your hand as our ushers come near you so that they can give you a packet of information. Inside this packet of information is our newsletter that tells you all the current stuff that's happening, as well as things about what our church believes and things that we do on a regular basis. This packet of information is a good way for you to get to know a little bit about us. It's good for us to be together this morning. Every time we get together on Sunday mornings, we join our voices together in an invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that you will find listed in your bulletin. This morning's comes from Psalm 117. I invite you now to stand for our invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples.
For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Pray together. Father, from your word we hear these words. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Father, we are waiting. We are waiting to hear from you. Because so often the answers that we get from this world leave us empty and cold. And Father, we know that it's in your presence that we find answers for all eternity. And that's why we come. That's why we come to worship. That's why worship is active. And we have to participate in giving our lives to you. So we come and we wait and we listen for the word of life that you will bring us this day. Come and speak, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love. We're going to sing hymn number 12 together. I ask you to go ahead and stand. The choir's going to sing the first stanza, and then if you will join us in singing the rest of the hymn as we sing, Great is the Lord.
Got some that are coming out of the balcony. They're coming from everywhere this morning. Good to see everyone. Did you have a good week at school? Okay. I'm with you there. We've got a couple more coming. We'll wait on them. This morning, I've got a backpack there. I want to thank Nathan Cobbler for providing the visual aids here. That's very nice, Nathan. I packed this to go on a trip. And I am having a little trouble because I packed it and I realized as I was carrying it in here that it's probably too heavy to take on a trip. So I've got some things that I need to kind of sort out, and I need your help in doing that. Things that I felt, as I was packing, I thought they were pretty essential for the trip I was going to make, kind of an overnight camp out kind of deal. And I need your help sorting through this. So you need to kind of tell me what I need and what I don't need for an overnight. Have any of you ever been on an overnight camp out kind of thing? Okay, so you know what you need on those, right? The first thing I packed was a football. And I was thinking, you know, you always go, everywhere you go, you take a football, right? No? You don't think I need that for? Okay, well, we'll set that aside for just a moment. We'll come back to that, though. I'm thinking we probably need that. We've got a canteen. How about that? You think that's a keeper? Okay, we'll keep the canteen because we may need water, right? Okay, might get thirsty. And my favorite pair of shoes, I was thinking of, no? Hiking, okay. I don't think I have any hiking boots, so I'll put these aside for just a minute. A toaster, I kind of thought I needed in case for some squirrel bagels or something. That's a good point. I didn't have an extension cord, so this doesn't do me any good, does it? Okay, so we'll put the toaster aside. We probably don't need that. My laptop, I was kind of thinking I would need to get, you know, a little few games or something and play it. Or DVDs. I think I had some DVDs, too, maybe, that I could play on that. Live from Boston, U2 DVD, I thought. And Support Your Local Sheriff. That's a good flick. Maybe we could. Okay, maybe not. Maybe not. All right. We won't use that. My cell phone, handy-dandy cell phone. You've seen these. This is my favorite model. It doesn't have a GPS locator on it, but it's always good if you have an emergency. So I'm going to really insist that I take this with me. It's also good as a weapon. If, you know, if attacked, I could throw that at them, and I think I'd be okay. Ring pops. Well, I probably don't need. Yeah, ring pops. Tell you what, I'll just pass those around so y'all can take one of those. And if there's any left, I'll take those on the camping trip with me. I think I'll need that. We've got a couple other things. I'm missing a couple things here. A proud to be a deacon bumper sticker. Definitely. Okay, all right. That's a keeper. We'll keep that. And I think we have one other thing. It's getting quite a bit lighter, though. I appreciate y'all's help. We've got a gold and black. And, Nathan, I'm pleased. I'm pleased that you have a gold and black sleeping bag. I think I probably need a sleeping bag, right? Yeah. As you go out there, you need something to keep you warm. Well, that helps a lot, gang. I appreciate that because we've got it down to the sleeping bag, the canteen. Did I smack you in the face with that? The canteen, the cell phone, and the bumper sticker. So that's what we're going to need. And whatever's left of the ring pops, okay? It's not a hard decision. Let's pass them on quickly. Here we go. All right, so that helps out. So I've got something for my physical nourishment. I've got the water, the cell phone in case I have an emergency, the bumper sticker, just because, I guess. What else do you think I might need? I don't need that? Okay. Well, what else do you think I might need on my trip? Can you think of anything else? Yes, ma'am. A first aid kit. Okay. All right. First aid kit. Anything else? A hiking stick. I have one of those in my office. That's a good suggestion. Yes, ma'am. A tent. That would be helpful, wouldn't it? I'll have to find me a tent to put in there. Well, this has made my pack a lot lighter, though. I got rid of all this other stuff that wasn't useful, and it made my pack a lot lighter. I want you to listen this morning when we get to the sermon. I'm going to be telling you about a fella that Jesus was trying to help him lighten his load. That's what y'all helped me do this morning. You helped me lighten my load. And I appreciate that because all this other stuff I didn't need. But this stuff I probably do need for where I'm going. So listen real close when we get to the sermon because I want you to kind of figure out maybe what Jesus is trying to teach us about taking stuff that we don't need. Okay? Can you do that? All right. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for these children. And we pray that you would help them and that you would teach them and teach all of us what we truly need to carry through life and what we don't need. And Father, we pray that you would guide us as we study your word and as we worship together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your help.
Father, as we gather today in this time of the year, as the seasons begin to change, we're reminded, Lord, that you are our guide through all times. And while there's a chill in the air, and we can still see the beauty in the trees. And we know, Lord, that in all things, in the darkest of times, your beauty shines through. We're grateful, Lord, to gather here today in this warm place to celebrate our love for you. We're thankful, Lord, for your many gifts. We're thankful for a church staff that leads us and guides us, that teaches us to make a joyful noise, whether that noise is singing your praises, driving a nail and a hammer for a homeless person, or speaking the words of your glory to those who haven't heard before. And now, Lord, as we gather around your table, we bring back our gifts to return a small portion to you, that you may bless it and take it out into the world, that others may hear your word. Bless these gifts, Lord. Bless the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll join me in reading God's word this morning. The first passage is from the Old Testament, the 23rd chapter of Job. I'll be reading verses 1 through 9 and then 16 and 17. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is now not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns to the right, I cannot see him. And then in verse 16, it is God who has made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me. But I am not silenced by the darkness, nor deep gloom which covers me. And now from the New Testament, the fourth chapter of Hebrews, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted by all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. May God bless the reading of his word.
Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we know that we serve a risen Savior, one who has dwelt among us here on this earth, one, dear Father, who was tempted in every way, yet did not sin. So we know that we serve a Savior who understands what temptation is, who understands the draw of temptation, but yet did not sin. So we have an example before us. Help us to have a yearning, a desire to learn more about our Savior so that we can be more like him. Help us to have the desire to transform our lives by surrendering them to you and watching you change us into new creations. Father, we pray that as we are transformed, that our striving would be to serve you, to worship you, and to serve you. And Father, as we look around us this week, we know that we've had many opportunities to do both of those, to both worship and to serve. As we've spent time in your word, learning more about you, as we've sung your praises privately as well as corporately. Father, as we've sought to minister to those who've been hurt, to those who have experienced grief from the loss of a spouse, from the loss of a parent, from the loss of other loved ones during the course of this week. For those who experienced ups and downs in their medical diagnoses, Father, we pray that you would help us to understand more than ever that you're in control. We pray that we'd be faithful to surrender control of who we are and all that we have to you and to you alone. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to continue with our reading this morning. We'll be reading from the New Testament. And you may recognize where we are in Mark chapter 10. Last week, if you may or may not remember, we were in Mark chapter 10 and we were reading the passage about the children coming to Jesus and how he dealt with them and how he dealt with the disciples and how he taught us through that illustration of the children coming to him what it means to be dependent upon God, to be completely dependent upon him. And we're going to pick up right after that passage in verse 17. And we'll be reading through verse 31. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Fascinating encounter. As Jesus encountered this man in today's story, Mark tells us that he looked at him and he loved him. This man was one of us. He could have been your next door neighbor. He could have been a co-worker. He could have been the person sitting beside you in the pew. He was us. He was a normal guy. He was a good guy. He was happy with life. And he came with a question. The question in his mind really was, what am I lacking? Is there anything lacking? And I think he knew what was lacking. And he seemed to be so faithful in so many ways. Jesus told him to keep the commandments. And he said, I've done that since I was a little guy. I've kept the commandments. And Jesus said, you know what's required. And he said that loving him. Out of love, he said, you know what's required. What's the one thing? This is a paraphrase. Jesus was saying, what's the one thing that you're unwilling to give up? It could have been anything. For us, it would be different things. But what was the one thing that this man was willing to give up? Jesus said, give up your money. Give it away to the poor. And the man said, all of it? All my money? And Jesus said, all of it. The rich man was shocked. He was shocked. It was impossible for him to imagine that after all that he had done for God, as good as he had been since he was such a little tyke, that there would be this one enormous, unreasonable thing asked of him. He realized that Jesus was serious. So he went away. He was sad. He grieved because he could not believe that much would be required of him. He wanted to do all that God required of him. He wanted to do that, but this is too much. This is over the edge. Jesus, I think you're from God, but when you say this, I'm not really sure that you're from God. You can't be, because God would not want me to give up all my possessions. Because they're a blessing from him, right? Right? Aren't they? And then the kicker comes in verse 24. The disciples were amazed at what they were hearing. But Jesus said, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? What was Jesus teaching? What was he trying to say? That rich people aren't going to heaven? No, of course not. That's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, if we look closely at the imagery that Jesus is trying to create in our minds, we find a literal translation that may be slightly different from that. But we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to give you two schools of thoughts about these verses, especially 24 and 25, the part about the camel and the eye of the needle. There are at least two schools of thought, but primarily just two. The first is the one that is the majority view. It's the view that's most widely held by scholars, and that is that the Greek word that's translated here, the word is kamelos, K-A-M-E-L-O-S, and that it is correctly translated, just as the NIV does, camel. And the image is of a camel trying to pass through the eye of a needle. Now you may ask, what size does the needle have to be? That is a very bizarre image, Raymond. Are we talking about a sewing needle? What's going on here? Well, most likely what Jesus was referring to was the fact that in ancient cities, Jerusalem being one of them, there were huge walls that surrounded these cities for protection. And at night, the gates were locked down for security purposes. So people could not, armies could not invade and that type of thing. Well, there were also narrow passageways that were built into these walls. They were placed there to allow people to come and go after the curfew, after the gates were secured. Now, these passageways were wide enough that a person could actually pass through them. A person could pass through, but it was not nearly wide enough to accommodate a pack animal. Say, for example, a camel. It was not large enough to allow a camel to pass through if it were loaded down. So these passageways were called the eye of the needle because they were so narrow. If you'll look at your bulletin insert, there is a picture of one of these. This is an actual photograph. It's a little digitally looking because it was scanned and then enlarged. But you get the idea. It was a very small and is a very small passageway that people can actually crawl through, but animals, pack animals, loaded, would not be able to. Now, we know that camels were beasts of burden, and it was a very common practice for these camels to have all or the majority of the earthly possessions of many people, especially if they were nomadic. It would be much like a backpack, except they put it all on their camel. Now, the idea is that the camel would not be able to go through the eye of the needle if it was loaded. So it would have to be completely stripped of all earthly possessions, all of its stuff, in order to squeeze through the eye of the needle. It was possible, but it would have to be completely stripped of its earthly possessions. So if you can imagine that, then I think we get a better picture of what Jesus is presenting. He's saying, in effect, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a materially minded or materially obsessed person to enter heaven. Because that type of person is constantly burdened with the pursuit of stuff, the temporary, the here and now, to the point of excluding preparations for eternity. So it's not a condemnation of wealth. What's happening, it's a directive of priority. What should our priority be? It's about our focus. How do we spend our energy? How do we use or how do we abuse what God has entrusted to us as good stewards? That's the issue. The second view, which is talked about sometimes, mostly in academic circles, is that the translation of the word kamelos, camel, was confused. The theory is that when the Greek was translated into Latin, that some of those who were translating confused kamelos, camel, with kamilos, K-A-M-I-L-O-S, rope. So if you take that image, a rope, well, there's Greek dictionaries that say kamelos is literally translated anchor rope. Now you think about an anchor rope. It's pretty large. So the image that you get from that, now you think about a needle. This is a large needle, but it's actually pretty small still. The largest needles in the first century were about 6 inches long. They were used for sewing tents and rugs. They really were about this size, not much larger. If you take the image of a rope, it just happens to be gold and black, okay? Nothing intentional, it's just the largest rope I could find. A rope being threaded through a needle. It's not going to happen. So the image is of something seemingly impossible to take place. So if you follow this line of thinking, this theory, the verse would say something along the line, again, I tell you, it's easier for an anchor rope to be threaded through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. That is the second theory. Do I believe this translation is accurate? No, I do not. I do not at all. But even if you held that line of thinking, then the idea is a seemingly impossible task. Now, I don't believe it's accurate for a number of reasons. The primary fact is the fact that all the codices, all the manuscripts that we have that date back to the 4th and 5th century all translate camelos. They all translate camel. You add to that all the what they call the majority text manuscripts. All of these say camel. All of them do. The idea of the rope doesn't show up until the late 9th or early 10th century. So all of the early manuscripts are unanimous in reading camel. The only reason I tell you this other one is, especially students, you may encounter someone somewhere along the line that say, well, that's not even a camel. It's supposed to be rope. You'll know. It won't throw you. You can say, no, actually no. If you go back to the earliest manuscripts, they all say camel. So it's good for us to know in terms of our faith. But I think really the best understanding, if Jesus was talking about a rope, it wouldn't have had anything to do with materialism. And that seems to be the point of this whole passage of Scripture. So the image of a camel being stripped of all its possessions in order to pass through is very consistent with what Jesus is trying to teach. That's exactly the point I think he was trying to make. And the disciples obviously were disturbed about it. They're sitting there and they're saying, you know, how can we do that? Who then can be saved? I think is exactly what they said. Who then can be saved? And Jesus said, all things are possible with God. And he loved them. He loved them. So how do we apply this? Say, I don't even own a camel, Raymond. How do we apply it? Each of us, I believe, no matter how faithful we are, we have the potential to hold something back from God. There's something, one door of our heart that we will not open to Him. And we have the potential to love that one area of our life so much that we just don't trust God with it. We think, God, I've got this part handled. I know how this part of my life should be used. I'll give you the other 99 parts of my heart. But this one part I want to keep. We have the potential of letting that one thing, small though it may be, grow. Grow in importance to such an extent that it overshadows our faithfulness. That it keeps us from being completely faithful. But from Scripture this morning, we read, we also have the potential for letting go of that one thing. For making small beginnings to be more faithful. Surrendering. Opening up ourselves, who we are, and all that we have to God. We have this possibility, and I know, and I can stand here with good conscience and declare it is possible. Because Scripture tells us, Jesus said, all things are possible with God. The issue is not about what we have or what we don't have. The issue is about control. Are we willing to give it to God? Are we willing to surrender all that we have and all that we are to God? If we don't, we'll be shocked, just as this man was. We'll be shocked that God wants that last stronghold. Our job is to unlock that and give Him the key. To surrender completely who we are. If we will do that, we'll discover something important. We'll discover that Jesus looks after us. Jesus is looking toward us because He knows that with complete surrender of who we are and what we have, we make a giant step toward becoming more like Him. And that's supposed to be our goal, right? Becoming more like Him. That is our goal. It should be our response of love to a Savior who first loved us. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we confess that we want to control our own lives. We want to somehow grab hold of the things that we think are ours. Father, forgive us of our foolishness. Because we know that all that we have and all that we are belongs to You. It's a matter of surrendering so that You can completely indwell us and that You can use us as clean and worthy vessels and that we can worship You and see things more clearly as You see things. That's our heart's desire. We pray now that You would forgive us when we failed You and that You would empower us to live more completely for You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Jesus, I have promised.
to a time of response this morning. I want to give you an opportunity. There's a litany of confession that is on the insert that you were given in your order of service. This can be a wonderful time for us to confess and be a time of response to what we've experienced in worship this morning. I'll read the light print as you read responsively with me. You, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You are faithful to all your promises and loving toward all you have made. You are the rock, your works are perfect, and all your ways are just, a faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just. Yet we have acted corruptly toward you. We confess we have become a warped and crooked generation. Forgive our faithlessness. We confess that we've relied on jobs, bank accounts, and our own resources to provide for our needs. Forgive our faithlessness. We confess that we have held on to those things that you've given us, allowing them to possess us. And in our quest for more, we've neglected the needs of others. Forgive our faithlessness. We have used the talents and abilities you've placed within us to further our own agendas rather than your own. We have filled our schedules with so many options that we've neglected to spend time with you, the one who makes our life abundant. We have compared ourselves to others and found ourselves to be righteous, yet no one is good but you alone. Forgive our faithlessness. Remind us daily that your loving kindness never ceases. Your compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Our God truly is faithful, and we want to give you a chance to respond. Perhaps you already have in the reading of this litany of confession. If you would like to make that public, we give you an opportunity to. If you would like to receive Christ for the first time, we want to give you that opportunity as well. If you would like to join this fellowship of believers, we worship together, we serve together, and we invite you to be a part of that. I'll be glad to share with you the ways that we receive members. Perhaps you'd like to come and just pray. Pray that others would open their hearts and that all of us would be receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. However you would like to respond, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing together.
I'm
remain standing for our benediction. Dear Father, as we go, help us to go in peace and understanding of who you are and who we are. Father, we pray that we would live a life that would glorify you by giving you control of everything that we have and everything that we are. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.